Today's scripture reading will be found in John 5, 1 through 15. John 5, 1 through 15. First John? Cassie's gonna do it. Thank you, Cassie.
Okay. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. All right.
Thank you. It was probably not what you were expecting to read, was it? It's okay. Just a few basics to get us started. Number one, we all need the power that is spoken of here. The Christian life is based solely on faith. The desire of every Christian should be to abide in Christ. And the one that we don't like to talk about, the devil, is out to get us. In your handouts, and I hope that each one of you, I think I left mine in the pew, but that's okay. I hope that each one of you are actually taking these home and you're studying them and you're going through them, regardless of whether you're in a triad or not. This is good, biblically based information. It's information that will give us the power that we need, that will help us form the faith that is so desperately needed by every Christian. So take it home. And again, whether you do it in your triad, or whether you do it this afternoon as a family, or whether you do it all by yourself in your closet, wherever you go to do this thing, go through this. The concept with this 10 days is for us to get to know the Holy Spirit. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning a little bit. Is very practical level of walking in the Spirit. And is that actually possible? And if it is, what does it look like? So if you would, let's just pray for a moment. Dear Father, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for the promise to meet with us when one or two are gathered together. We know that you are here. As we open your word, dear Father, as we talk about the things of the Bible, may the Holy Spirit translate our mumblings and our groanings. May they be truly worshiped for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go any farther, I just saw something that I just have to make mention of it. Hubert, it is so good to see you back in church. I don't know how many of you know, but he went in for a little chest pain. They cracked him open and did a quadruple bypass on him. And that's not been that long ago. And he's here with us this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, when you read your Bible, is it filled with extraordinary people? No. Oh, see, we can go home right now. The Bible is not filled with extraordinary people. The Bible is filled with you and me. But there is something different about each one of those people. What are some of the extraordinary events, or not the events, when you think about some of the extraordinary events that happened in the Bible, who are some of those people that you think about? Daniel. John. Paul. Oh, little maid. Okay. Some of you talked about giants of the Bible. And that's good. She talks about little maid. What did little maid do? Does everybody know the story of little maid? Okay, Naaman. Okay, you get, what did the little maid do? She witnessed. She said, hey, I know somebody can help you. If you had a friend that was sick, had a bad cold, okay, maybe even the flu, but you knew that there was a doctor, just any doctor, you would go to your friend, wouldn't you, and say, hey, I know somebody can help you. Is there anything extraordinary about that? But if you look at the story of Little Maid, the story is extraordinary. Why? She's captive. Are we not captive? What else is extraordinary about the story of Little Maid? She's a child. So the first thing I want you to think about is the children of this church. The children of this church who, in some cases, have a whole lot more faith than we do. Or maybe it's not that they have a whole lot more faith, it's maybe that they're just more open and willing to share it. They're unencumbered by fear. They don't know any better, we could say. Well, I say praise the Lord for that. Because when a little child gets a hold of something and they know it, they will share it with anybody and everybody. Take that spiritually. Is that not what Christians are supposed to do? I think it was Charles Swindoll. In fact, he had a message, a sermon, I don't know what you would call it. And I didn't hear his message, but I caught the title. And I didn't catch it exactly because I was driving, and so by the time I got to work and what I wrote down and what it actually was, it's close. He says, the Bible is filled with, and we already talked about it, ordinary people who have an extraordinary God. This morning, that's really what I want to talk to you about. Or you said Daniel. Somebody said Daniel. You said Daniel. Now, Daniel is an interesting story because there's really nothing ever bad spoken about Daniel. And so, personally, I don't like using the story of Daniel because it makes me feel bad. Because, man, this guy was, he was extraordinary. He really was. I like looking at stories of people that I can relate to a lot more. And that's why if you go through your Bible, you will find all kinds of stories about all kinds of people. I like talking about James and John, the sons of thunder. Why? It's because I relate to that. I open my mouth and I speak before my brain engages a lot of times. So when you look at their story, for me, I can take that and I'm going, okay, spoke way too fast, thought way too slow. But what happened with both of them after the crucifixion, after Jesus rose again? What did they do? What did James and John do? They witnessed. What did they witness to? What was their witness? About what they knew. Had they not just spent the last, 2.5 years with him? That's all they did. But there has to be something a little more to it, I think. So you look through other Bible characters. Think of characters. I think of David. Think of what King David did. Now let's take not that he was a man after God's own heart, which is a whole sermon all by itself. What did David do? He murdered somebody. I have never killed anybody. I have never murdered anybody. But God called him a man after his own heart. Why is that? He had admitted his guilt and he made a change in his life. So when you look at these extraordinary events in the Bible, they were all done by ordinary people. Ordinary people just like you and me. And for me, that gives me a great deal of hope. If this Bible was full of Daniels, I love the story of Daniel, it's really cool, but if the Bible was full of stories of men like Daniel or women with that same characteristic, I'd be really depressed because I can't live that way. There's nothing bad ever said about the man. It is a goal, but I have another goal that's even loftier than him. Who's the author? My goal, my hero to look up to is Jesus. So when I look through the Bible, I want to be able to get a hold of somebody that I can say, okay, I can relate to this person, and if they did it, so can I. But for that to happen, what do you got to do? You've got to figure out how they did it, don't you? You've got to figure out how they did it. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because as we know, nothing that happened in here with all these extraordinary stories would have ever happened if it were not for the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding in their life. So how is that possible for you and me? How do we make, what's that, the saying, Gandhi put it this way. Gandhi said, I love your Christ. I'm not so favorable about your Christian. So what does that mean for you and me? Is people like Gandhi looking at us and going, the man that they talk about, this Jesus Christ, oh yeah, good man. But you're not following in his footsteps. Some of that is this growth that we talk about. I remember when I was growing up, I was really small for a long, long time. But I remember walking Sabbath afternoon walks, or we would go on a vacation or whatever, and we liked to camp. My dad was not a big man. My dad was about 5'8", had little short, stubby legs. But I remember as a kid trying to walk with my dad. I get so tired so quick. Have you ever tried taking huge strides? You get tired. Now, my dad could have just kept right on walking. But he didn't. When I would get so tired of trying to match his steps, he wouldn't stop, but he would see that I was getting exhausted, and he would reach back and pick me up, and he'd put me on his shoulders, and he would carry me. As I got older, I got bigger. Thank the Lord for that. As I got bigger, my stride matched his a lot more. I would still tire, but I could keep up with him finally. That's growth. You put that into skin spiritually, and what does that look like? What that looks like is we cannot match strides with the Holy Spirit. We cannot match strides with Jesus. We are not capable of doing that, period. And if that was the end of the story, next week this church probably would have no one in it. But what the end of the story is that we do have the ability through the Holy Spirit's strength and leading and guidance to not only match strides with Jesus, but according to Jesus in John, he said, you will do even greater things than I because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Does a brand new baby take off running? It takes time, doesn't it? They fall down, they get up. As a little boy, I tried to keep strides with my dad. I couldn't. But as I grew, as we grow spiritually, we will become stronger. We will become bigger. We will become more capable of matching strides, not by our power, but by the power of God in us, to walk step by step, or step in step, with Jesus himself. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep steps with the Spirit. And I think that's that growth process. God does not expect us to be perfect right now. At the first moment you accept him, God's saying, I accept you the way you are. Now, together, let's work on some of those details that you got. You know, some of your details and some of my details are not the same. And praise the Lord for that, because I would not want to see a church filled with people like me. But each one of us grows at a different rate. As we grow, we give strength to the family that is around us. I have witnessed miracles in this church? Hubert. It's a miracle. You say, oh, it's modern medicine. Okay, I'll give you modern medicine. Who gave modern medicine the ability to crack somebody open, split them open, and reroute four bypasses? Are you kidding me? And he's here this morning. Is that just modern medicine? Who gave modern medicine the ability to do that? But you say, but they're not, and I don't know who Hubert's doctor was, so, okay. But you say, but Hubert's doctor isn't even a Christian. He's an atheist. But he is, okay, and that's all good, but it doesn't really matter. Because what still matters is God empowers humanity with knowledge. Where does all knowledge come from? It's God. All knowledge comes from God. And he bestows it on each and every one with the same level. Just because this person is not a Christian and that person is, does not mean that God gives only this person knowledge. God's blessings are given to each and every one. The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Okay? As we grow, we will start to match steps with the Spirit. Spiritual growth, spiritual strength. It also, I love your children's story. Thank you so much. Habits. What are your habits? We all have bad habits. I'm trying to give up most of mine. Some of them are more difficult than others, and my wife prods me along. No, that's a habit you need to give up. Okay? But that's all good. Because I know she loves me. This, again, is a church family. Now, just because we're family, does that mean that I have a right to come sit down next to whomever I choose and say, I think you have a bad habit you need to give up? Yes, it does. But not like that. A family is someone that loves you and cares about you. Love is wanting someone else's best good. Along with that love is a relationship. When, and he's not here so I can talk about him, Rod Stewart came to this church, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago. He sat in the back pew for a long time. Once Rod and I started to form a relationship, things started to happen. What started to happen is we realized that we had a lot in common. And I mean a lot in common. He grew up riding motorcycles. So did I. He grew up as an absolute crazy lunatic of a kid. So did I. We did things that, by the grace of God only, are we still alive. As we got to know each other, we started to understand where each came from. I can tell you, without any shadow of a doubt, and I don't know where Rod is at the moment, but I can tell you that if I took my phone out, and if he would answer it, because he's probably in a church, and I would say, Rod, I need you, that he would be here as soon as he could get here, regardless of what he was doing. Because we formed that family relationship. Triads, that's what this is all about. It's about forming relationships with people who goes way beyond the normal interaction that we have in church. I've been here for 25 years. Some of you are closer to me than family. I would do anything for you. Some of that is you knowing that. That's part of getting close. That's part of building relationships. The Holy Spirit is just like that. If you never introduce yourself to the Holy Spirit, because he's been trying to introduce himself to you, if you never do that, you will never form a relationship with them. I say him, I don't know if it's a him or not. When we form relationships, those relationships are here on this earth, and they will last by the grace of God forever. When we form relationships with the Holy Spirit, things start happening in our lives. Big things. Things like happened to the disciples after Jesus was gone. And they would go into towns and villages and they would preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Simply put, the gospel is God loves you. That's really simply put. That's what the gospel is. There's a way for that to happen. It doesn't mean that each one of us have to be like Paul. I have no aspirations to be like Paul. Sorry. Now, there's some portions of him that I do. I don't want to be like John. I want to be me. And when we form relationships with the Holy Spirit, he says, here's the best part about it is, all I want is for you to be you. We don't have to be extraordinary people. All we have to do is have a relationship with an extraordinary God. It's not, look at the disciples. You know something? The disciples did absolutely nothing. They didn't. But God did through them. They formed a relationship with Jesus. Because of that relationship with Jesus, they were open to what the Holy Spirit had in mind. They were open for something deeper, something stronger, something more powerful to happen. If you aspire to be like one of them, praise the Lord. But I can tell you that what the most important thing in your life should be is forming a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We teach our kids, pray to Jesus. And we leave the Holy Spirit and God out of it. As we grow up, we pray to God. And we leave Jesus and the Holy Spirit out of it. Or maybe we're really good, strong Christians, and when we pray in Jesus' name to God, and we leave the Holy Spirit out of it. Why do we do that? Here's my thought. It's because we have never formed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. When is the last time that you fell on your knees and you prayed to the Holy Spirit? Now, I understand that the Holy Spirit takes our moanings and our groanings and he takes them and he mixes them with the language of heaven and he translates for us and he presents them to God. And that is a beautiful thing. But if you have a relationship with somebody, Here's an example. So, Euridius and I are forming a relationship. I love this guy. But he's sitting there next to his wife, Hannah. Okay? Love Hannah. Great young lady. If you don't know them, you need to get to know them. Okay? If I want to form a relationship with Euridius, I'm not going to come and I'm not going to talk just to Hannah. If I want to form a relationship with him, I must take the time and the effort to talk to him. The same is true with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we put the Holy Spirit on the back shelf and we say, oh yes, I know that everything that is done in my life is through the Holy Spirit. And that is good that we acknowledge that and we know where the power comes from. I get it. But why don't we form a relationship with the Holy Spirit? He is part of the Godhead. There is three of them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we form a relationship with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with the Father and with the Son will become stronger. We will have a better understanding of what the Holy Spirit wants from us. So what does all this look like to us? Part of it comes, Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. That can only be done with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Putting flesh on all this, what does it look like for you and me? What it looks like is a room full of common people doing extraordinary things. Things like when you have a friend that is sick, holding their hand. That is an extraordinary act of God. When you see somebody and it's obvious that they're not having a good day, in the truest in sincerity, and this is so important, sincerity, you tell them, I love you. And I will be praying for you. And like we talked about in our Sabbath school class, that's good. But the real step comes in during the week. Text them. Call them if you want. Drive by to visit. Let them know, I didn't forget about you. I have been praying for you this week. That is an extraordinary act of God. It is not part of who we are. That is a gift that only comes through the Holy Spirit. What it looks like is when you realize that there are things in your life that you used to really like to do that you don't do anymore. Sometimes we have to step back a little bit from our own lives and going, I was there, and I'm not there yet, but at least I'm here. We talk about these habits, some bad habits. I love ice cream. Love it. It loves me too. But that's one of those habits. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a bowl of ice cream, okay? But I'm saying when you sit down and you eat the whole half gallon, you might have a problem. Maybe not, but you might. I no longer have the desire to sit down and eat the whole half gallon anymore. I eat it one scoop at a time. As you look back over your life, are there areas where you can say, I've grown? I think that each one of us, if we take the chance and sit down, we look back at our life and going, you know something? Let me tell you a little story. My mom is not here, and that's a good thing at the moment. Not really, because she's not feeling well. Anyway, my dad had a pretty strong temperament. There was a time in our lives when I was fairly young where my mom had a very candid conversation with my dad. You will stop doing this, or the consequences are this. My dad, at the end of his life, was one of the most gentle and kind men. That is the Holy Spirit working in lives. Now, I'm not saying that because you have a problem and you haven't overcome it, that the Holy Spirit is not working on you. That is not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if you sit down in retrospect of your life, you will see those day by day by day changes in your life. And that, my friends, is common people with an extraordinary God. Galatians 5:16 says exactly that. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When the Holy Spirit is in our lives, when we have formed that relationship, we will stop. Now, I'm not talking night, day. It happens with people. I'm talking step by step by step change in our lives until we are becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Romans 12:2 says to not be conformed by them, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Our minds. Where does the Holy Spirit live? We say in our heart, but really, where is it? It's our minds. In Sabbath school, we talked about Gethsemane. When the weight of the world was being placed on our Savior, there was nothing else. Jesus' mind was all that was left. And the devil attacked with everything he had. Can you imagine? Just take your sins. You know what they are. I know what mine are. Just my sins placed on someone. Devastating thing that would be. Now think of just the people in this church. If there's anybody in this church that hasn't sinned, please raise your hand. Good. So now we all know that everybody in here is a bunch of sinners. When we place our sins on our Savior, it separated him from God. That's what he was going through. At the lowest point in his life, that's when the devil thought, I got him. Devil was wrong. Praise the Lord. As we transform our minds, our characters will change. Some of the things that we used to do, that we loved to do, that we knew we shouldn't be doing, we won't like them so much anymore. And that is common people with an extraordinary God. How do we put that together for us? How do we How do we become like the people of this? The stories that we read, and I don't care whether it's Little Maid or Daniel, David, Samson. Extraordinary things that he did at the end of his life, because he recommitted himself fully to God. That's what a relationship with the Holy Spirit is all about. It's looking back at your life, seeing where you started, and praising God that you are moving forward. They say that the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian when they fall down is, when a non-Christian falls down, he just falls. When a Christian falls down, you fall forward. And when you stand up, you are farther ahead than where you originally were. That is Christianity 101. We walk forward, and when we are moving, we fall forward. And when we stand up, we are stronger and we are farther than where we had been when we fell. Because that is by the grace of God and through the Holy Spirit and through the blood of Jesus Christ working in our lives that that happens. And that, my friends, is common people doing extraordinary things because we have formed a relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit.
Our closing song will be number 608, Faith is a Victory. Would you please stand as we sing this?
minutes for prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Dear Father, it's a new journey that some of us take to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But dear Father, above all, that's what we want. Because we know that as we form the relationship with the Holy Spirit, that our relationship with you and with Jesus will become stronger and stronger. And that when we get to heaven, we will long for that just that moment where we can see all three together. Dear Father, give us strength to do the duties that you have for us so that you can come and take us home. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.